time, is it okay if I have this? And I said, as long as you're just using it for your Bible. If you're using it for anything else, it's not fine. So let's try to keep it on the Bible. You know, all of the Bible, all of the Word of God, you know, it's relevant, it's meaningful, and it's applicable every day of our lives, and no matter what time of the year that it is. And there are certain portions of God's Word, certain passages of the Word of God that, well, they seem to be reserved for or preached on just certain times of the year. And my scripture reading this morning is probably typically a passage that most times is just read during the month of December around Christmas time as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that event, we should be mindful of it all year long and every day throughout the year, simply because that He is the promised Messiah, and He is the Son of God, and that came for all of humanity. But I want to read that today, and I want to use it a little bit differently, and I want us to be able to focus on Mary in this. But let me begin reading in verse number 8, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'm going to stop my reading there. My focus is from verse 19, where we find recorded, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I want to title my message this morning, A Mother's Heart. A Mother's Heart. And this morning, as I look around the congregation, and it's such a joy for me to be able to see so many mothers here today. An even greater joy for the mothers that are able to have their children with them, not just the little ones, but we got some big children here today sitting with their mothers as well. And it's just a joy for me to be able to see that on this a special day that we honor our mothers. And, you know, our nation has established this day with purpose and reason. And I think the purpose and reason is that all of us might be able to reflect and be able to express our feelings of love, our feelings of gratitude, and be able to honor our mothers either in memory or to be able to honor them in our actions today. And I think that's a wonderful practice, and I think it's a practice that's well-deserved. You know, it should happen more throughout the year, but at least today it's one day that we stop to appreciate these women that have given so much of themselves to others. And, you know, in Scripture, when we look into the God's Word, there's so much, of course, that God's Word says to us. But I truly believe that we as God's people, when we go into God's Word, aside from the things that God speaks to us through the Word, I think we should look to God's Word and be able to look for the role models that are before us that we might be able to imitate them and emulate them. You know, Sister Laura in the bulletin this morning, she had listed a few. She listed Jochebed, the mother of Aaron, and she mentioned Miriam, the mother of Moses, and Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And I think Mary is also one of those good role models that we find in the scripture from others today, and someone that should be emulated or try to be like. And through Mary, I think we get the picture, and we can understand what a mother's heart is. And you know, I personally think that when God created woman and gave her to the man and gave instructions for them to multiply and to replenish the earth, I believe he gave mothers some special qualities. And I'm not going to get into all that today, but brother, and I love you too. But you know, mothers do things that we just don't do. They do things differently than what we do. You know, a child falls down, and you know, oftentimes the dad will say, "Get up," and the mother will say, "Oh, you poor thing. Let me kiss your boo-boo and make it better." You know, so we handle things different sometimes. And I think as we look into God's word, we can see these special things that we need to try to emulate. And in Mary here, we can see the heart that she had. And I want you to see through the scripture this beautiful picture of a mother that was humble. I want you to see the beautiful picture of this mother that had a trusting heart. And, you know, in this in the book of Luke, I read to you from chapter 2, but in chapter 1, we read that Mary was chosen by God. I want us to understand this morning that she had a special mission, that God had a special purpose, that God had a special work for Mary. And why was that? Why was Mary selected and chosen for this special work? And I believe that there were reasons for that. And I believe the reasons were because she was a devoted worshiper of God. I believe that she was chosen because she had a pure heart. She had a pure mind. She had a pure body. She was humble, and she recognized her dependency upon the Lord. And she was cooperative, and she was obedient and to the will of God. And you can read the entire dialogue of that annunciation between the angel Gabriel and Mary in that first chapter of Luke's gospel. But their conversation concluded with verse 38, which I want to share. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I want you to think for a few minutes. I want you to imagine this morning what your reaction might have been if the angel had come to you and told you all the things that the angel said to Mary. What would your reaction have been when God announced the special birth of a child to Sarah? Do you remember what Sarah did? Sarah laughed. In the Bible, when we read about Manoah, Samson's father, the reaction that he had was one of panic. Zacharias, when he was, we read the record of the birth of his child, it was doubt. But when we read about Mary, she submitted. She believed the angel of the Lord that came to her, and she agreed to carry this child that it was foretold that she would be carrying. Even under these, I would say, humanly impossible circumstances, as we read about it, we know that the scriptures teach that, you know what, there is nothing that's too hard for God. Or in other words, the scripture says, nothing is impossible with God. And my point is this. What I want us to see in Mary today, amongst many things, is that she was somebody that God could use. She was somebody that God could use. And mothers today, you know, wherever they are, those that are here amongst us today, mothers today, they need their lives to be such that God can use them. He can use them to accomplish His will and His purpose, not only in their lives, but His purpose and will in the lives of their children, just as He did with Mary. We know the scripture that Mary became the mother of our Lord through a miraculous, immaculate conception, as the Bible teaches us. Mary had been told that her child was truly of God. And in verse 35, it said, the angel answered, in chapter 1, the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And you know, as I read that this week, I thought about this. Above all, this mother knew that the child in which that she was carrying, the child in which she delivered, she knew that that was the Messiah, that that was the very Son of God. And in my reading, he had come. Mothers, I want you to think about, you know, what great things does the Lord have for your child to do? What great thing does the Lord have for your child to be able to accomplish in this life for the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? I wonder this morning, are you preparing them? Are you giving them the opportunity to be able to fulfill what the Lord has for them to do? I'm going to tell you this morning that as I say that, it's not an easy thing to do. And I also want to tell you that there's bound to be, there probably will be, I can almost assure you that there will be heartbreak in the process of doing that. Even though this child that Mary gave birth to was Christ, Mary still had to deal with all the reactions of the unbelievers that were round about her. She still had to carry this child to term. And, you know, Mary still had to suffer the pains of motherhood. Just because she was carrying the Christ child, she was not exempt from those things. And the Bible tells us that she had been through so much. And I'm not going to take all the time. Our time is quickly passing. But just to set you at ease, we don't have service tonight, so you can spend time with your family. So grant me a few minutes over if I need it this morning. I want you to think about everything that she had been through. This was a woman that the angel came and said she would be with child. She wasn't married. She was unmarried. And imagine the discussion that she had with her fiancé, with Joseph, who she was espoused to be with. No doubt Mary was the talk of the town, whether it was to her face or behind her back, and it was probably both of those things. You think about the long trip that she had to take from Nazareth, the exhaustion of giving birth in a stable. I think of all the things that she went through. And, of course, then the shepherds came that I read to you about, and the amazing story of the heavenly host proclaiming the praises of God. There is no doubt in my mind that Mary was tired. No doubt in my mind that she was weary. No doubt in my mind that she was exhausted, as any person would be going through these things. But so much had happened. And Mary was at the very center of all of these things that was unfolding with our Savior. And I'm sure no one could even begin to know the thoughts that filled her mind all of those months of what was coming. Nobody could know the feelings or the emotions that she was experiencing. And along with that, of course, I think there was wonder. And I think there was amazement and the astounding reality of what was transpiring. And it was just almost too much to even talk about. And as we read in Scripture, we see the humbleness of Mary. And it was characterized over these months as the coming of the Christ child was. And, of course, she didn't say anything. The Scripture said that Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Sometimes there are great pains along the pathway of life that extend beyond the birthing of a child. And I think Mary knew something about that as well. When Jesus was almost a teenager, Mary found it, I would say, difficult to understand her son. If you are the mother of a teenager today, you might be able to sympathize with her. The Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph, they raised Jesus. You ever suppose they went through what we call those the terrible twos? You ever think they experienced that with Jesus? I don't know. I'm sure they were like you and I. They wanted to raise their child, who Mary knew who he was. But they wanted to raise him so that he would live right. As Shauna said, to be able to function in society. That's our goal, teach them right from wrong, and to be able to respect people, and then they gain respect, and all of those things. And I believe that was Mary and Joseph's desire. And I believe they did a good job at it, because in verse 40 it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So I think they were doing a good job of raising the Lord. And, you know, we don't have a lot of biblical records about the raising of Jesus, about when he was a youth. But we do have record of what happened on one occasion. When Mary and Joseph, they had gone to Jerusalem, as they did every year, for the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, the scripture said, "And after, when they had fulfilled the days," after they had finished what they had come to do for the feast of the Passover, it tells us that Mary and Joseph, they headed back toward home. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus, he stayed behind. And as we read that record of their journey, it tells us that they were into their journey a full day before they even realized that Jesus wasn't with him. They suspected, or they thought, that Jesus was traveling with their kinsfolk and that he was with all of them as they were traveling back to Nazareth. But you know what? When they realized that Jesus wasn't with them, can you imagine this morning this mother's heart? Can you imagine, no doubt, the panic that she must have had, or that she experienced when she realized that her son Jesus wasn't there with her? I know some of us can identify with that. I remember when our boys were, I think they were 5 and 6, weren't they, Dawn, somewhere in that? 5 and 6 or 6 and 7, somewhere in that range. We decided we was going to go to Disneyland. So we went down there and, you know, we did it up like everybody else did, you know. Josh walked around with his goofy hat with the ears and the teeth. And, you know, I forget what what hat Adam got. But anyway, we were walking along a path one area there. And those of you that have been there, you've seen all the shrubberies that they have pruned and trimmed to look like animals or Disney characters and things. And, you know, I thought that was just so awesome. And we stopped to look at that, and just for a second, and we turned around and Josh was gone. And you can imagine this mother's panic when she didn't see him. And she looked around and he was nowhere around. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little panicky myself. And I happened to look over here off to the side over there, and there he is in his goofy ears, and he's waving at me, "Hey, Dad." Whew. My heart was relieved that he was safe and that we were able to find him and there was no harm done to him. But I can also tell you that when I got to him, he was instructed, and perhaps, Shauna, persuaded, not to do that again and the rest of our trip. So he was good. Maybe you've experienced something like that. I remember Sister Betty Brown. You all remember Sister Betty. She told me about a family trip that they were taking, and they stopped at a rest area. And they went into the rest area, and they came out, and they continued on their trip. Except they didn't have Sister Betty with them. She was still at the rest area. So I don't know how far they got down the road before they decided they were missing one, but eventually they got back and they picked her back up, and she was back with them. So it happens. You know, it happens. But what an awful feeling. If you've experienced it, what an awful feeling that is. Mary and Joseph, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found Jesus. They found him in the temple. Verse 48 of chapter 2 says, "And Mary, she had said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Was ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them." I thought about that confrontation, or that discussion that they had. You know, Mary, the panic of her heart when he wasn't there, and they were sorrowing as they were going back. Who was she looking for? She was looking for her little boy, wasn't she? She didn't realize when she got there that the young man is who she found. And she found Jesus in the temple, astonishing how the religious leaders with his questions and with his answers. I don't know. I think for me, maybe if you can show it me different, but I think this is the first mention I know of in Scripture of Jesus realizing and identifying himself as the Son of God, and that he had a work to accomplish. The other thing about that, though, Jesus went back with his mom and dad. He honored them. He listened to them as they instructed and helped him to grow, and he stayed there until he began his personal ministry. And I'm persuaded to believe this morning that Mary experienced many pain throughout the raising of our Lord. And when Jesus was rejected by their own people, I'm sure that that grieved her heart. In Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 28, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." I'm sure Mary experienced great pain at the rejection that Jesus was experiencing. And you know what? I think mothers are the same way. It don't matter how old that child is that's sitting next to you this morning, if you have one sitting there. It doesn't matter how old that they are. If your children hurt, you hurt. You hurt for them because of what they're going through. And you want to protect them any way that you can. And that's just part of what God has instilled in that mothering, nurturing, and caring. Mary had gone through so much. She saw her son go through so much. John chapter 19 and verse 25 tells us that now there stood at the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I can't even begin to comprehend what Jesus' mother must have felt as she stood in that place, or maybe knelt in that place. I don't know. We know where that took place, and I am sure there was no greater pain than to be able to be where she was and witnessing the humiliation that her son was enduring, knowing that her son was falsely accused, falsely arrested, convicted and condemned, and here he was hanging on a cross, having endured so much suffering for man, and there he was going to be crucified just like a common criminal. In no way can we understand the agony in that mother's heart during those terrible hours that her son was suffering as he did. But I believe that Jesus, I believe her son, despite the pain that he was experiencing and despite the pain that he was going through, he understood the pain that his mother was experiencing. John chapter 19 and verse 26 tells us, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy son." So what did Jesus do? Jesus instructed John. He instructed him to care for and take care of his mother. I think that's another good lesson for us, kids. We have a great responsibility. Our mothers love and care for us and don't want any harm to come to us. But you know what? We need to extend that same love and caring back to them that they're going to need even when they get into old age. I'm going to bring my message to a close in just a moment. I believe Mary is a good role model for mothers today. This was a woman that was full of faith. This was a woman whose heart, it was in tune with God. She understood what God had for her to do. And she was a good example in child rearing. She was a good example in prayer. She was a good example in following the will of God, both for her own life and for the life of the child that she was entrusted with. And despite all that she had been through, never once do we see her taking the attitude of Job's wife. Never once do we hear the words from her as Job's wife said. She said, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." That was her attitude. Never once did Mary have that attitude as she witnessed all that her son was going through. And I think the reason is clear. And I think the reason is clear because she understood what the purpose of her son was. It was made clear to her by the angel Gabriel, and she knew what was coming, and she had been told that these things throughout the life of the Lord. And I think that's probably why, as the scripture said, that Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her hearts. What things? There were so many things I think there that we're talking about here, but among them was what the angel Gabriel said. And he said, "He shall be great." Talking about her son, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." No doubt Mary recalled what Joseph said to her when the angel appeared to Joseph, and Joseph told her that thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Mary knew who her son was. She knew what his purpose was. And she kept and pondered many of these things in her heart. And again, in closing, mothers, there's a lot of good examples around about you in this world today. And there's a lot of good examples that you can be found in the Word of God. And I think Mary is one of those examples that we can learn many valuable lessons from. Learn how to be a woman of faith. Learn how to be obedient. Have a heart for the work of the Lord and for the work that the Lord may have for your child to do. We got kids graduating, and that's wonderful, and they're entering into the world, either going to college or they're entering into the work field, and that's wonderful, and we're praying for them. But mothers, I wonder, are we thinking about the work that they may be called into by the Lord? You know, I don't know. Maybe we got some future ministers amongst us. Maybe we got some future choir leaders or Sunday school teachers amongst us. I don't know. But mothers, it's a great responsibility to help prepare them for the work of the Lord, whatever that work might be that the Lord calls them to. I can tell you this morning, I am thankful for all mothers today. Some of us today, we can't share this day with our mothers. My mother's up here. She's up here. Dawn's mother's up here. But I have wonderful memories of my mother and the things that she taught and instructed me, not just about the world, but specifically, as the song said, she taught me about Jesus, taught me how to sing about the Lord. And those are cherished memories. We didn't sing it this morning. I don't even know if it's in our songbook, but I grew up with a song that said, "If I could hear my mother pray again." You know, in church, I sat behind my mother. We had a different set of pews set up than we have here, and we sat on the short pews on this side, and then there was the middle aisle, and then there were short pews on this side. Well, we sat on short pews over here. You could probably sit four or five people on it, and I sat behind my mom and dad, and I can tell you there are many church services that the tears flowed, and I could hear my mother praying, not only for me, but for others as well, and those are cherished memories that I have. And today, I honor my mother. I love her. I miss her. She's been gone too long. My mother passed away when she was 49 years old, and I miss her. I miss her wisdom, and I miss her laughter, and I miss her loving ways so much. But Shauna, I'm kind of like your kids. I got a lot of moms too, and I'm thankful for all the mothers that have mothered me in all the years that my birth mom has been gone, and there's nothing that can take the place of that. And I know there are others just like me that their mothers are up here, and they're going to honor their memory today. And to the mothers that are here, and to the children that are sitting next to their mothers today, you know, my prayer is that today is a special day for you. My prayer that today is a day that your children will show you just how much you mean to them and just how much they love you. And that's the thing about moms. You know, they don't expect much. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit this morning. I called my son earlier in the week, and I said, "Son, get your card in the mail to your mother yet?" And he said, "Going to do it today, Dad." And he did, and it arrived. And she opened up the card, and she was looking at it, tears in her eye, reading it, and saying, "Oh, what a beautiful card." And I said, "Let me see it." And I read it, and it was a beautiful card. And then I turned the card upside down, and I shook it, you know, a couple times, and nothing fell out. you know what I'm saying, right? And I says, "Huh?" And she says, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the way moms are. It doesn't matter. All they know is that their child remembered them, you know. However you express your love your mothers today, and if you can. And he called her this morning and expressed that too. We're not able to be together. You know, that's one of the things about being a pastor. You sometimes can't always be together as family. But I am glad for the technology that allows us to have that and be able to see each other and do that too. At Crossroads, we have a tradition. For Mother's Day, we have flowers and we have a gift card to Country and Western. And these are the flowers, and we give out flowers to the oldest mother that's with us today in service. We give flowers to the youngest mother that's with us today. And we give flowers to the mother with the most children that are present with her today. So as we usually do, you can come and get the flowers after the service is over, but we'll start with the oldest mother that's with us today. Do we have a mother with us today or mothers that are over 90 years old? Hold your hands up high. People, help me look. Any that are over 90? If Sister Virgie would have been here today, I'd have been handing that to her. Do we have a mother that's between 85 and 90? 85 and 90. I see one hand. Is there any other hands? Did I see a hand over here, anybody?